Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. Chris Doering from SEC Network will join us at 7:40. We'll get back into college football with him. But now it's time to hit the skins because, hello, week one is less than a week away. It's coming. Yeah. It is barreling down on us.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
I had three fantasy drafts. I had two yesterday.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I had one Saturday, two yesterday. I've got one tonight, one tomorrow.
Very good. Love that. I mean, to hear that.
Bickle would be pulling his hair out.
His head would be spinning.
I enjoyed. Cakes helped us with my daughter and her fantasy draft last weekend, or whatever that was. Let me say Thursday, Friday night.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Sure.
I totally got into it.
Get swept up in it.
To me, that's the most fun, is the draft. But where you win it, as Cakes knows, is the weekly maintenance.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
where I just don't have it.
You got to churn that roster, baby.
You got to, like, think about it all at all times.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
You got to chase that waiver wire.
I don't have the bandwidth.
Chase that dragon.
I think we have our Johnny draft tonight.
That's tonight?
I believe so.
All John. Oh, that's your fourth one tonight.
Okay. How many
drafts do you have tonight?
Okay, well, I'll pull back the curtain here. The Johnny League is a goofy league amongst guys whose first name is John.
It's a good bit.
Okay, it's a great
Richmond
bit.
John, I think, started it.
It's a great bit. I have my two most important fantasy drafts tonight. Me and my guy, Bikey Botts. We split these high-stakes fantasy teams.
Right.
High-stakes, what, like a couple G's entry, something like that?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good chunk.
Yeah.
The Johnny League's going to get auto-drafted unless somebody wants to come to the rescue and, like, actually draft that team.
Auto-drafter usually does okay, right?
It's going to be auto-drafted.
Yeah.
Because I can't give it any attention tonight.
I think I have to do the same thing.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
I have another draft. For me, high stakes is a $300 entry or a $400 entry. And I have another draft at 7. And the Johnny League, I believe, 7:15, or it might be flip-flopping them.
I don't even know. It's so off my radar. All I know is, beep, 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 boop, a computer will be drafting my team tonight in that league.
All right, this isn't hit the fantasy league. This is hit the skips.
Yes, it is.
And this is, a couple days away from the official kickoff on Thursday. Of course, we play on Sunday. Is it Sunday, 1 o'clock?
Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Northwest Stadium against the Giants. There's still a little time for a few lists. I don't want to annoy you, but there are, like, predictions and lists. And by the way, I think that's also something, Valdez, that we need to do here in these next few days. We need to do one final prediction, right? Because
we're going to do that on Thursday.
On Thursday? Yeah. Okay. We got to do one final prediction, season prediction, post-agency. Go game by game. Yeah. We'll do the whole nine.
You're officially on record with your record.
Because, ESPN just did a breakdown recently with our buddy John Keim, with Seth Walder, and with Matt Bowen, okay? And they went through, they broke down every team's strengths and weaknesses, projections, all that stuff. And their total power football index, football power index, came in with Washington projected at 9.1 wins.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, whatever. That's fine. Reasonable. But what's kind of annoying is their analytics guy, Seth Walder, he actually went a step further. Here's his quote. The Commanders will finish below 500.
Oh, no.
Sure, they could continue their ascent, but there are a lot of ways this season could go sideways for the Commanders. The aging defense with a lack of pass rush could fail them. Injury or decline could make McLaurin or Daniels' early down numbers from a season ago merely average could be a better indication of who he is going forward.
Hmm.
So I know a lot of us are hoping that we build on last season.
Yeah.
10, 11, 12 wins maybe if things all fall perfectly and then you can get on a little run. He's got them below 500. Below 500, last time I checked, Cakes, that doesn't
that's
get you
good.
In the playoffs.
It no. does not.
That
generally does
that's
not.
That's not going to build. Now, we
it
all
did
know,
get Ron Rivera into the playoffs.
Wow, that
one
was a
year.
Weird, fluky year.
Twice because it did in Carolina.
Maybe one of the worst seasons ever for the
now,
NFC
Now, we all
East.
Know the red flags that are out there. The ridiculous sort of fourth down percentages that they had last year where they converted something like 90%. How well they did in the final drives and one score games and everything. The likelihood of them having that same success, unlikely. But hopefully they can make it up in other areas. I do think they do have actually maybe a better pass rush all the way around. I'd like to combat secondary
a little bit when you say it's not likely. All right, maybe it's not likely to be 93% or whatever. But with Jaden Daniels under center, that's a skill. He has a skill at late game comebacks, and he definitely has a skill that helps them convert on fourth downs.
I hope you're right. We're going to put it to the test. My guess is there'll be some regression to the mean. I do think he's a cheat code, and I do think as long as he's healthy and upright, he gives us a chance. But remember, I do think that a likelihood that there's some regression.
Remember, it wasn't just the fourth quarter, you know, last possessions of these. It was also the quarterbacks they faced.
Yeah, totally.
Last year, too.
They had
now,
that
we assume
they
they're going to face better quarterbacks week to week than they did last year.
Also, right. it's assuming that Jaden gets the ball with like 2 minutes to go.
Right, sure.
For instance, you can still lose a one-score game, and it would count as a one-score game if Jaden got the ball with 20 seconds and no timeouts.
Yeah, totally.
You're set up to not come back.
One other list that I wanted to bring out there. I'm not sure if we talked about this. Maybe we did, but there is a list of triplets where they rank every NFL's three-headed running back monster. Okay.
All right.
Now we've got four when you add McNichols. They've got Eckler, C-Rod, and Bill as our triplets.
Can't be ranked that high.
Where do you think Washington ranked? I'm trying to think.
I'm going to guess it's not
high.
I'm going to guess 25th.
20. Yeah, I would say 24.
No, maybe. Better than that. Better than that. They ranked 12th.
Wow.
12th in the NFL.
That's very high.
And this is by Seth Walder again?
NFL.com.
Okay.
They ranked every team's triplets ahead of the 2025 season, and it named Daniels, Kroski, Merritt, and
Is it the top quarterback, running back, wide out?
Yes,
is that what
I
it is?
It.
Okay, okay, now that makes sense.
Right. That makes more sense.
So they're adding Daniels in there.
Jaden, Terry.
And then they actually said Bill is their top running back.
Oh, so quarterback, receiver, running back.
That was my instinct because the first time I ever heard triplets really be used was Aikman, Emmett, and Michael Irvin.
Right.
That's what you generally think of with triplets. So 12th is reasonable.
I think so.
I mean, they have a very good receiver. You know, maybe he's not Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. You've got a very good quarterback. And then the running back's a question.
Running back's a big question mark.
Who's number one, the number one triplet?
Now you
don't have the list?
I'm going to guess Cincinnati.
I thought it was
although
just
running back. Although their running back might not be.
Chase Brown's
pretty
good.
He's okay, but I don't know if that would make them number one.
I think he's a little bit better than okay.
All right, Philly?
I think Philly could be number one.
Philly could be up there, too.
Okay. Let me see the NFL triplets.
Now, by the way, I believe Kendrick Bourne is scheduled to meet with the Skins today.
Yeah. I think he met with someone last night. He met with someone yesterday.
Yeah. Did he meet with the Niners?
He met with the Niners.
It was the Niners yesterday.
Yesterday, and then he put on his IG story maybe something about going to Dulles Airport.
All right, your number one triplet. Yeah, we kind of slept on this. Is the Ravens.
Okay, Lamar,
Derrick Henry, and they got Zay Flowers, number one. Number two is a pretty good one. The Lions, Goff, Gibbs, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and then the Eagles came in at three.
Right.
I have no problem with us being
12th. Bengals, four.
I have no problem with us being 12th.
Your 49ers, five, because they put Kittle as the pass catcher with McCaffrey and Purdy.
Yeah, McCaffrey's just such a question mark.
All right, but
after
Kicks,
last year,
obviously, this really is all about week one. All those lists, you can rank them however you want. And now we're going to start to play for real.
Glad list season's almost done.
The Commanders, they take on the Giants at Northwest Stadium, 1 o'clock. Currently, according to FanDuel, Giants are 6.5-point underdogs. Now, remember, the Giants last year went 3-14. But they redid the roster. They had a strong preseason in comparison to Washington, where the preseason games were kind of a big dud as they were sort of trying out all their backups and back of the roster guys. They averaged 35.7 points per game.
They led the league in scoring. Something tells me that they're not going to be able to transfer that into the regular season. They're not going to be scoring 30-plus points per game.
Well, 35, that's a big number.
Yeah, I think they're going to come in way lower than that.
A lot of that was Jackson Dart.
Right.
Look, last season, both games were close. You had the game early in the season in week two, which was all field goals for the Commanders. Their offense 18. Moved the ball, but they had to settle for 7 field goals. Had a closer game later in the season.
27-22 in week 9.
Dan Graziano, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago from ESPN, and they were doing kind of bold predictions. But here's what you got to worry about with the Giants. He predicted they're going to lead the NFL in sacks. They have a lot of guys, you know, with names at least. Drafted Thibodeau a year ago, draft Abdul Carter. This year, you've got Dexter Lawrence. You got Brian Burns.
They got Burns. He's a stud.
They've got Carter's good players on defense.
Carter's going to be the Micah Parsons of the Giants. I'm not saying he's going to put up those type of numbers his rookie year, but he's going to be very similar.
He's going to be impactful as a rookie. Yeah.
By the way,
doubt
did you see
it.
That Parsons may need an epidural to actually play?
I did see that.
In week one. Let's, you know, I hope he has health and everything, but let's hope maybe he doesn't play or he's not up to strength
for
fine. A couple weeks.
It'd be fine if he's sidelined for week two short week.
Because we've got them coming up in week two. But here's an interesting little nugget. The Giants haven't started. Look, they've struggled. You know, 2 years ago, they went 6-11. Last year, they went 3-14. In 2023, their opening weekend, they lost 40-0 to the Cowboys. Okay, in 2023. And last year, they lost 28-6 to Minnesota before they finished, you know, 3-14. So they're looking to change that around. I feel like they have some momentum. I think the 6.5 points is a little generous. I'm anxious about this game.
I'm seeing 5.5 on ESPN, so it's fluctuating between sites.
Right, right. What are your keys to this game? Pretty standard,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, my first key is don't let Malik Nabers kill you in this game. Don't let Russ throw 50-yard moon balls to Malik Nabers against this secondary. Well, start seeing that early, that's going to be a problem.
And that's going to be our first real chance, right, to see Trey Amos, is everybody has kind of said, has had kind of like the off season of of the team. Mm-hmm. He's the one like sort of stalwart there on the back end. Everyone has said that Lattimore has been out there, has been available. He looks healthier than he has last year, but they haven't really gone against other guys. They've been going against Terry McLaurin less receiving core and looked really, really good. But how are they going to look against the Malik Nabers?
It's going to be very interesting. Based on what we saw in the preseason.
If they don't win the first game.
It's going to be very interesting.
Quinn's going to be criticized a lot for giving his veteran so many days off. And by not playing the guys in the preseason very much.
Maybe. Or we're just not that good.
Well, I want to see how the offensive line on paper looks a lot better. I want to see how they do against this pass rush.
Yeah, this is a big test for the offensive line.
Because this is a legit pass rush.
I don't know exactly how they're going to. Like, how are they going to incorporate Connolly? Did he do enough to start in week one? Everybody says they were really pleased with his progress throughout the summer. But, yeah, I think the revamped offensive line should be better. How's that going to hold up against all those pass rushers that you mentioned with New York? That's going to be critical. Now, again, with Jaden, he makes everything better. You know, he makes even your offensive line look better because he could take off and run. That's the other thing that we have to keep in mind as we kept hearing all of these reports of the defense getting the better of the offense this summer. Two things. A, the offense didn't have Terry, which obviously changes everything. And B, Jaden's not running like a chicken with his head cut off in training camp.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of quick passing game against this Giants aggressive defense. I think you're going to see a lot of Debo in this game, some shorter routes to get that ball out quickly. So that pass rush isn't in on Jaden.
Besides
Jaden,
who's the most interesting thing for you? I think, is it Bill or is it Debo?
I think it's Debo for me.
I think it's Debo.
Yeah, I think it's Debo. I just think he's going to be. I agree with Tex. I think he's going to be a big part of their offense on Sunday.
I think so too.
I'm intrigued by how the running back room pie is carved up in week one. I'm also intrigued by can Kinlaw anchor the defense and shut down the run?
Yeah.
Because if Tyrone Tracy and Scadaboo come in and just have their way, then you're going to be worried about the run defense all season long.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kinlaw. That signing did not bear any fruit. That's 1 week. Yeah. But if they come in and gouge the run defense, it's going to be a scary thing for the rest of the season.
Is it possible that the Giants are one of those teams that come from nowhere?
Definitely, and, I brought that up.
Make a turnaround? Do you think they can go from 3 wins to like 9?
No, that's a big jump. I don't think so.
That's too big a jump, right?
I don't think so. I
think they could get to 6, 7, 8.
I have a hard time believing in Russ at this point.
Nine's
because he was
a big
so
number.
Bad down the stretch last year with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like his last 4 games, I think he was under 200 yards passing in each game. He was just flat out bad.
Yeah, but maybe he'll be better with Dable, who's a little more of a quarterback guy than Arthur Smith, right? Who's the OC?
I just think Russ is getting towards the end.
Of course. Of course. But he could still spin it. He could still throw it.
EB, I think it's possible because we know there will be a team that rises up.
Yeah.
And you like their parts on defense. I still think Dable's a good coach, even though the last couple seasons have been disastrous.
Right.
And now I think he has a competent quarterback who's not going to lose it for him. And then you've got Malik Nabers. You like that. You like a lot of the pieces, I think, for the New York Giants.
I just need to get the preseason bitter taste out of my mind. Even though everyone knows preseason doesn't matter, we've won Super Bowls, we've gone winless. But when you literally have the worst point differential or second worst, whatever we had in the NFL, and you look so bad every opportunity you were on TV, I need to get that taste out of my mouth. I need to get a good one.
I'm not afraid of Russell Wilson in this game. I'm not afraid of they're going to march up and down the field passing the ball. No. I would be afraid of just their pass rush and their defense causing problems. Causing problems early in the game for Jaden.
You don't think that Cliff can dial up some quick passing
game stuff?
Oh, I'm sure he will. Yeah. He's going to try. I just think that that's a really good front seven.
You don't think Jaden can evade a guy or two and take off?
I don't think he can. I know he can.
Right.
We've all seen it.
I'm confident, but I'm not uber confident like I was when the schedule first came out.
Yeah.
I will say that the Giants do seem to have a little momentum to them. Now, I think some of that is with Jackson Dart, who I don't think is going to play for a while. So that's good. We'll play an older
If the
Russ.
Giants get off to a rough start, you know, they start 1-4 or 2-5, you're going to see Jackson Dart before long.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, Dable clearly loves him. But we shouldn't see him. We don't have to worry about him in week one. I think it's going to be all Russ.
It should be.
It's going to be all Russ.
That should be the case.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we will touch on Arch Manning and his debut against Ohio State. It didn't go very well. We'll break that down next here on The Fan.